This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We welcome in Tria Slotta. You can find his work at KC Star, KU Beat Reporter. You can follow him on X at SHRE98. Trius, it is portal season. I don't know how much you enjoy portal season. It is one of the craziest seasons for somebody in your line of work. How's it been so far?
Chaotic. Just trying to figure out what's going on, reaching out to agents. Always my least favorite thing is trying to figure out if these guys are going to talk to me or not. A lot of no responses and stuff like that. But then you get the guy who doesn't have an agent yet, like a high school coach, and it's a refreshing conversation because they're not, hiding anything. but yeah, it's been fun and chaotic and a lot to pay attention to because Kansas is definitely busy.
Do we know anything of substance yet from this roster? Because I've not seen really anybody make a definitive decision as far as whether or not they're entering the portal that are potential returners for Kansas.
Yeah, no, nothing definitive yet. I had a story a couple of days ago kind of mapping out where things are at with a couple of different guys. Like I mentioned in the story, Diggy Koisa, a situation that's interesting where obviously there's interest on his end and there's interest on Kansas's end for them to eventually come back. But in the benefit of getting better and him kind of being a liability on defense, there could be a parting of the ways depending on how the roster construction goes out for Kansas. Another one was Florey that I know some rumors have come out. Maybe he was interested in the portal, but I was told that definitively on Sunday that there was no such chance that he would enter the portal. Obviously, things can change. That was Sunday. We know how things are. And the current plan is for him to take a week off basketball, then meet with KU coaches and discuss. And if it goes all according to plan, they expect him to be a building block for Kansas next year alongside Peterson. So unless something changes, which it could, we know how things are in the portal and, how people are nipping at the butt, I'm sure, to get him from other schools. Right now, I don't think Florey is going to leave the Jayhawks. Store and Ryland are probably the two contenders, I think, if I were to pick. Hey, I think these guys could go. Another one is Zach Clemens. I mean, Clemens almost left before last season, but he decided to stay. The year before that, he flirted with going to Santa Barbara, but ultimately came back. If he wants playing time and a real opportunity to play minutes, I'm not sure he's going to get that at Kansas next year. He didn't get it much this year, even when he was healthy. Obviously, he had the groin injury for the second half. So just a couple of those guys on the roster I've been paying attention to.
So with Flory, because I think it all starts there, is the draft an option at all? Like, is he getting any of that kind of love? So this is pretty much college basketball, it sounds like.
Yeah, there's no, you know, I talked to a couple of different draft guys that I know in the business throughout the season, and nobody really has him on their boards, you know, at the moment. Like, if he declared, because of his age, I'm sure he could draft it like late second round because of the injury there. But there really wasn't much, you know, from Flory besides a couple of games of production where I think teams or evaluators felt like, hey, he's a definitive lottery pick. Like, you know, we knew Furphy was getting lottery buzz when he started to play. Grady had lottery buzz the entire season. He was at Kansas. There was none of that with Flory, besides maybe a brief moment. And the guys who had Flory on their board, you know, were really more Twitter or amateur guys, you know, and obviously sometimes they tend to be ahead of the curve 6 or 7 months before the national guys catch up. So that's a little bit of that. But from what I understand with the situation with Flory is it was always expected to be a multi-year thing. You know, that's what I was told in the last summer. You know, he didn't expect to be a one and done guy. I mean, he was going to go out there, compete with Hunter and KJ and Zach Clemens and get better. And then ideally you come back and he's the starter next year alongside Darren Peterson. And if things go well, they both could be lottery picks.
Speaking of Darren Peterson, how much pressure does Peterson have on his shoulders next season? You know, especially considering the way that the last two seasons have gone. And, you know, I think that there are a lot of folks in the fan base, at least, that are looking at Peterson as kind of the savior of the program, like a palate cleanser after what has happened the last couple of years. How much of that pressure do you think will end up on his shoulders?
I mean, I think there's an immense amount of pressure, right? The reality of the situation is KU's looking at him and people have made the comparison. I don't know if we're quite there yet, but he's their Cooper Flagg. You know, for better or worse, they're going to ride Peterson. I think Bill Self had a comment a couple of weeks ago talking about Peterson, where it's like, if Kansas has the season he thinks and that Duke had this past season, he's going to get the lion's share of the credit. And the inverse is also true. If Kansas disappoints next year or goes in not a top three seed and, you know, they lose out in the first or second round, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him that way. But the reality thing is, we know he's gone after a year, guys. You know, unless something catastrophic happens, he's going to be gone after a year. So Kansas finding the right pieces to fit around him is going to be so important, because that fit thing in self-system, and I mentioned this on Twitter today, it's not just about talent anymore. It's about having guys that fit around Peterson, but also not too many guys who are just do one or two things well. I feel like that's the big thing that I've noticed this year, last couple of years, is you have too many of those guys who just do one or two things well. So if they don't do it well, then what are they doing out on the court?
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this then. If how much wiggle room is Bill Self going to allow with those two guys? Because if it's those two guys, it's a true freshman and a raw sophomore who we didn't see the full potential of. He's not going to build that program around that next year.
Well, you know, I think he's going to bring in some veteran guards. They've been linked to Josh Dixon. I just put out a story. They reached out to Donovan and from New Mexico State – or New Mexico, sorry. And he's going to be a big get if they can get him. Every blue blood has reached out to him and his high school coach recently. He averaged 20 a game. He's a Mountain West Player of the Year. If Kansas can get him – it'll be big for Kansas, but I think this can be a difficult decision. But we should find out in the next couple of days. I was told he could make a decision as soon as this weekend. So I presume what they'll do is bring in some veteran guards, because they need another guard alongside Peterson, even if they're not the primary ball handler. Having a guy that can score and facilitate like Donovan can, or Josh Dix can, either one of those guys would be great to kind of have in KU's arsenal. I presume what they'll do is the focal points of the team will be those two guys, but the complementary pieces will be the things that prop them up, I think, and could be guys who would be, you know, NBA level talent if they played at Kansas versus, you know, a guy like Donovan who played at New Mexico, who might not get as much shine.
Going back to the opening round loss in the NCAA tournament last week against Arkansas, It was basically a microcosm, that game, of the entire season for Kansas. Like, everything that had been ailing the Jayhawks throughout the year, sort of it was encapsulated in that game against Arkansas. Poor clutch moments at the end, or unclutch moments, I guess, for the Jayhawks. Turnovers, I mean, back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back turnovers, it seemed like, down the stretch. Just a lot of those issues. And then, of course, you have the devastating injury with KJ Adams to close out that game. What do you think Bill Self's mindset was coming off of that game? Like, I would imagine from him, there was probably just a mentality of, like, thank God this is over with. Like, thank God we're done with this, and we can hopefully start fresh next season.
I think it's a little bit of that, but also a lot of appreciation for what the core three, especially KJ and DeJuan, gave those guys. I mean, gave Kansas for a couple of years. Obviously, it didn't expect anybody. I think anyone expected it to end like this, beginning of the season, like they would lose first round. But, you know, I could feel a lot of emotion from Self in his press conference where he was talking about how KJ and DeJuan are sons to him. And I think it was a difficult thing where figuring out what's right for Kansas was also putting him in a tough spot where he clearly loved the guys, but they were flawed. And because they were flawed, you know, their issues were amplified, you know, roster construction issues. I mean, I've said it to you guys before. Two seasons ago, KJ Adams was the center of Kansas basketball, and they got the number one overall seed. Why? Because they surrounded KJ Adams, DeJuan Harris with three NBA level wings. When they brought in Hunter Dickinson, they essentially said, hey, this is the guy that we're going to build around. And it's difficult to build around Hunter Dickinson, easier said than done, and especially difficult when you have three guys who essentially are non-shooters. Even if Hunter shoots two threes a game, he's not enough of a threat where you don't feel like the spacing is clogged. It puts an immense amount of pressure on the other two guys then. Because then you're expecting Zeke Mayo and either a Rylan Griffin, AJ Store, Kevin McCullough, whoever, the last 2 years, to kind of play up to a higher standard than I think most would have imagined. So I think in a way, having this fresh start will be great for Kansas, but also it'll be an opportunity to kind of see how Bill adapts with a new base. I mean, when we think about it, 80% of their starters are gone from last year, potentially 100%, depending on what happens with Rylan or AJ, right? So this is a new canvas for Bill Self, for him to paint on. It's completely blank. And, he has a number two recruit in the nation coming in. He is a guy like Semis Calderon, you know, also coming in freshman class, and Bryson Tiller, all good players. And then you have a couple of good returning guys who could play roles. Marco Jackson, Jamari McDowell, who could play heightened roles. We've seen it before. Guys miss a year, don't really play much, and they come out and they play like all Americans or at least Big 12 player, you know, all Big 12 players. So I'm very intrigued to kind of see how the roster construction plays out, because it's finding that balance between fit and talent, but also playing the right way in Bill Self's system.
And how do you ever know that? I mean, are they going to play the right way? Didn't he do that with Rylan Griffin and AJ Store? I guess tell me what the difference between Rylan Griffin and AJ Store is to what you just described and what Bill Self said, which is finding the right fit. Did he not think those guys were the right fit and they just weren't?
I think the belief that Self had, especially with Store, is Store can learn how to be a winning basketball player. I asked him in November what the biggest difference between Wisconsin and Kansas was. Learning how to play winning basketball. To me, that was an alarming thing to say at that point in time. And I thought about it. I mentally kind of noted. I was like, okay, this could be an issue. For him, the leash was always small, but he was clearly there to be a scorer first because his defense was not good, right? And this is what I'm saying. Like, the right fit means minimizing guys where they're a liability on one end of the court. The right fit means having guys who are more well-rounded. Maybe they're not excellent at everything, but they're pretty good at everything. That complementary alongside a guy like Darren Peterson and Floyd Badunga could be so much better for Kansas. And I think Rylan, I mean, you know, I'd heard this candidly from, you know, some sources. If Rylan wasn't shooting well, what is he doing on the court? You know, there wasn't a lot he was giving out there. His defense wasn't particularly amazing. He wasn't rebounding the ball at a great clip. So then what's the point of having him on the court if he's not making threes at least a 35% clip? And AJ, we know he had a kind of a disastrous year. He obviously ended on a relatively high note, Big 12 play and the Arkansas game. But he never really figured out his role. His leash was small because his defense wasn't good enough. So I think going into this transfer portal madness is finding players that can play both ways, even if they aren't maybe the esteemed level of talent that these recruits or these recruiting sites say they are.
Okay, that's fair. One final question, and we just have like 1 minute. Quincy Ballard leaving Wichita State. He looks like a KU center. You think there'll be any interest there?
I definitely think so. I think there's a, you know, he's a local kid. You know, why not? Why wouldn't you go dig into your backyard to get something like that? There, he could play a backup center role to Florey. They clearly need a backup center. Maybe they even play, you know, I haven't seen Quincy play that much, but if he's a stretch five, you know, that he could play the five and Florey could play the four.
He looks the part. The only thing is, if he goes somewhere, it's got to be to play more. I just don't know. That'd be the only thing, but he sure does look like it. We'll keep our eye on that. We'll find out. KU would compensate him well, but I don't know that it would be his most advantageous playing opportunity spot. We'll follow you, Shreyas. You're the guy here. We're just going to kind of track this thing through you. That's the only way I know how to do it, so we appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.